You know, we really live in a world that's full of competing beliefs and values and choices. And what you believe shapes how you live and ultimately who you become. But the good news is, God hasn't left us to figure it all out alone. No. In fact, today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we're going to continue our series, Reframing Your Worldview, where Rick Warren unpacks powerful truths from God's Word to help you see life clearly and live it with confidence and purpose. Let's jump right in for part two of a message called, How Did the World Get So Messed Up?
Now, this morning I want to just quickly look at five dimensions of the damage that when sin entered the world, and when we continue to sin, we continue to blow it, it affects five areas. There are natural implications, there are physical implications, there are emotional implications, there are relational implications, and there are spiritual implications. Every time we blow it, okay? So let's look at them. What are five results of living in a fallen world? Number one, there are natural disasters and deformities. Natural disasters and deformities. Nature doesn't always act in a rational way. It often acts in an irrational way. And there are natural disasters. And when people ask, why are there hurricanes? And why are there droughts? And why are there earthquakes? And why are there tidal waves? And all of these other different natural disasters, the answer is very simple. The planet is broken. It's fallen. This is not a perfect place. And the Bible says that very clearly, that it's not perfect anymore. In fact, the Bible tells us in Romans 8:20, creation was condemned to lose its purpose. The original purpose of creation was to be in perfect harmony with man and perfect harmony with God. It is not. And the elements are rough. And it can be very unkind. And so today, creation doesn't always work the right way. And the Bible says that it is, look at the next verse, creation is confused. You know, when you look at things like, how do animals get sometimes deformed or defected? And why sometimes are babies born with major defects? And our major deformities. Well, it's because of sin. Sin in my own personal life could be, in other words, if I'm a drug mom and I take crack cocaine and then I have a deformed baby, that's a result of sin. Or if I've got AIDS and then I pass it on, that baby didn't do anything wrong. But somebody did something wrong, most likely. They may, somebody gave them the wrong blood transfusion. Or they had sex with somebody who had AIDS or something. There was somewhere back, something went wrong. And even when you see things like Siamese twins that are born conjoined at the head, where did that come from? It's because we live on a broken planet. And the Bible says creation is confused. It's not a perfect place. And all of the environmental problems that we have in the world are a result of sin. There was no pollution in the Garden of Eden. There was no raping of the landscape. There was no, not taking care of the planet. It was all because of sin. The problems, the physical problems on this planet are the result of evil in the world. And the Bible tells us all of creation groans with pain, Romans 8:22. Why? It groans with pain because it knows it's not made for that way. It's made to be in harmony. And actually, nature is quite harsh sometimes. So there are natural disasters and deformities. Second, there is physical decay and death in the world because we live in a fallen planet. Physical decay and death. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 4:16. Our physical body is becoming older and weaker. One look at you and I can prove that. Okay? You don't have your youthful beauty. And our bodies are getting weaker and they're getting older. There are no perfect bodies. You can airbrush them into perfection, But there are no perfect bodies. A lot of us have furniture problem. You know, our chest drops into our drawers. And things don't, not everything works right in your body. Have you figured that out? It just, why? Because we're in a fallen planet. Not everything works right. If we're in a perfect planet, there would be no need for doctors. But we live in a fallen world. You know, I kind of hesitate telling you this, but there's this guy who, he went over here to the Claim Jumper about a year ago, and he's a single guy, and he's sitting in a booth, and a woman comes in who's a single woman, and she sits in the booth right next to him. And she starts having a sneezing attack. And as she's sneezing, I kind of hate to tell you this, she's sneezing real hard, and her glass eye popped out. And the guy reaches over and he catches it before it hits the ground. That's a way to start a conversation. So he goes over, and in that embarrassing moment, they start talking to each other, and they actually laugh about it, and they actually end up going out on a date. A year later, they're married. They're married. And at the wedding, the pastor asked the woman, said, well, what was it about this guy that really attracted you? And she said, well, you know, he just kind of caught my eye. Look at this verse up here on the screen. Our earthly bodies, which die and decay, are different from the bodies we're going to have in heaven. Thank God. For they will never die. The bodies we have now embarrass us. Anybody want to say amen on that?
Amen.
Okay, the bodies we have now embarrass us. For they become sick and die. But they will be full of glory when we come back to life again in heaven. So the second problem is not only is the earth damaged, but we're damaged physically by sin, by defects. And that's why we have all these medical bills. We live on a fallen planet. In physics, they call this the law of entropy. And the law of entropy is that everything in the universe is continuously, irreversibly decaying. That's the law of entropy. That all matter is degrading and that all energy is dispersing. Scientists have known this for years. It's dispersing into disorder. In other words, this world is winding down. It's decaying. Which, by the way, totally contradicts the second law of thermodynamics and the law of entropy, totally discredits the law, the theory of evolution, which says things are getting better, things are getting more complex, and they're getting improved. Well, it denies the second law of thermodynamics. Now, not only do we have decay, but we have death in the world. And the Bible says this. Everyone dies because all of us are related to Adam, the first man. Now, one of the reasons why we die is God doesn't want us hanging around on an imperfect planet. To live on a fallen planet for eternity, that would be hell. And God says, I didn't make you to live in a place of imperfection forever. I made you to live in a place of perfection forever. So I want you to know me, choose to be in my family so you can live in that place forever. So one day, God's going to shut down this earth because he has prepared a place that's perfect in eternity. The Bible says this, all creation anticipates the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. It says even the world is looking forward, the earth is looking, nature is looking forward to that day. So we got natural disasters and we got physical decay and death. Number three, we have emotional distress and disappointment. Why do you get stressed out? Why do you get disappointed? Because you live on a fallen planet. You live in an imperfect world because evil exists and sin exists. And stress is the result of living in a damaged, sinful world. And I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but most things don't live up to their hype. Most things are overrated. And they're told like they're the next thing since sliced bread and that, you know, they're not all they're cracked up to be. And you go to an event and you go out and you go, is that all there is? Do you remember that song? It was Peggy Lee or Brenda Lee. Anybody remember that song? Is that all there is? Those are all the old folks in the church. Okay? But, you know, it just doesn't... Why? Because it doesn't last. You know, as a pastor, of course, I've worked with a lot of young couples who spend a year working on their wedding. And it's like, where are we going to put the candies? And what kind of bag are the candies going to be in? And what color are the candies? And they spend an entire year, and then it's over in a couple hours. I've always thought if they spent that much time in preparing for the marriage instead of preparing for the wedding, we'd have stronger marriages and fewer divorces. I know people say, well, we don't have time for premarital counseling because we're too busy planning the wedding. I tell you, the wedding isn't going to last. The marriage is what you want to last. If you spend as much time on pre-marriage counseling, you're married, you'd do far more for your relationship than what color are the candies? So in a fallen world, we get disappointed by events. They're just not all they're cracked up to be. We imagine, how many of you, be honest, how many of you were ever disappointed by a prom? Yeah, yeah. Most of the men raised their hands. I just saw that, you know. Okay. How many of you have ever gone to a big movie and then you walked out going, what a waste? Yeah. Have any of you ever been distressed or disappointed by a vacation? You know, I think Job was. I found this verse in the Bible here. It says here in Job 6:20, they are distressed because they had been confident. Then they arrive, only be disappointed. I think he's talking about Vegas. Okay? Distressed because they'd been confident. You know, this is going to be good. Oh, we're going to really have fun. Then they arrive only to be disappointed. Now, if you are a perfectionist, you're going to live constantly with disappointment because there's nothing perfect in this world. The Bible says there is nothing perfect in the world except truth. God's word is perfect. It's the only thing that's going to be perfect. So everything else is going to disappoint you constantly. This is not heaven. And part of maturity and part of growing up is learning, and you have to teach this to your kids, how to deal with disappointment and learning how to deal with failure, because you don't succeed in everything you do. And if kids don't learn how to fail, they are going to be warped in life. They have to learn how to fail good, because nobody succeeds at everything. And it's a myth that you're going to succeed at everything. And you're going to have to learn disappointment and how to deal with it, not just with your circumstances, but you're going to have to learn how to deal with disappointment in yourself, because you let yourself down a lot. And you finally come to the point, you know what? All of my dreams probably aren't going to be realized. And I'm not really as good as I think I am. And you start getting disappointed with yourself. And a lot of guys go through midlife crisis on that. Paul says in Romans 7:18, I realized I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. And so we have to stop living in denial. And that's why I love the Bible, because the Bible says, have a sane estimate of yourself and your gifts. Know what you're good at. You're shaped to do certain things well, and other things you're not shaped to do well. Now here's a fourth result of living in a fallen world. And it is relational distance and discord. And this is the one that really bothers us a lot. Relational distance and discord. Every marriage conflict you've had, or conflict with your brother or sister, your boyfriend or your girlfriend or your parents, all of that can be boiled down to one word: sin. Sin is in the bottom of every conflict, every marriage conflict. I want what I want, you want what you want. And when Adam and Eve sinned, it not only disconnected them from God, it disconnected themselves from each other. Before sin and evil entered the world, Adam and Eve had the only perfect relationship. They're in the Garden of Eden, a place of perfection by themselves. No in-laws, no clothes, no kids, no misunderstanding. Adam looks at her and says, Eve, you're the only woman in the world for me. And he meant it. He wasn't lying. He meant it. And I mean, they're having one good time. And Adam and Eve had soul intimacy, heart to heart, not just sex, but man, they understood each other. They were soulmates. It's like, you know, I just know exactly what you're thinking. And today, we're going, I have no idea what she's thinking. What in the world is she thinking? What in the world is he thinking? You know, I read about, or heard about a psychological study this week that they put sensors on male human beings, and they measured what phrases created the greatest stress in their lives. I'm not making this up. This is not a joke. Yeah, my eye fell out. Yeah. And this is really true. They studied what causes chemical reactions in a male body. And the single phrase that creates the greatest source of stress in the male anatomy is this phrase. Honey, we need to talk. I'm not making that up. Honey, we need all kinds of physiological things, and it's not endorphins that go off in a male body when honey, we need to talk is said. Why? Because we have relational distance and discord. And the intimacy that Adam and Eve had when there was no sin was replaced by fear and hiding and distrust and shame. And every relationship has had to deal with those ever since. In fact, the Bible says this in Genesis 3. They suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. So they strung together fig leaves together to cover themselves up. And people, men and women, have been covering up ever since. And I'm not just talking about clothes. But we cover ourselves up emotionally. And we don't let people get close to us. And we don't let people see the real us. And we hide from each other. In fact, Adam did the two things that every human being does, every man and every woman in relationships. He hid and he blamed. When he sinned and God came to him, and God says, where are you, Adam? Of course, he knew exactly where he was. And Adam goes, I was afraid, so I hid, as if you can hide from God. I was afraid and I hid. What are you hiding in your life? I was afraid and I hid. I didn't let you see the real me. And then he said, and then not only did he hide, he blamed. He said, well, it's the woman that you gave me that got me into this mess. And we've been blaming each other for our problems ever since. Hiding and hurling, hiding and hurling, hiding and hurling. We hide our own weaknesses and we hurl blame at other people all the time. And it creates shame and fear and distrust. And then we cover ourselves up with fig leaves. My question to you this morning would be, what's your fig leaf? What's your fig leaf? What do you use to cover up the real you? I know some people who use humor, and they make a joke out of everything because they don't want anybody to get close to their real emotions. And they're the joker. They don't let any, everything's a joke. And other people, they play the martyr role. And other people build a wall or a shell around them, and I'm not going to ever let anybody hurt me again. Where does that come from? It comes from sin, which created evil, which created a fallen planet. We live in a fallen world. And sin makes us defensive and distant and demanding. You know, and we can joke about, well, men are from Mars and women are from Venus, and we don't know what we're thinking. But the truth is, no doubt, some of you right now are in major pain right now. And I'm sorry. You're in major pain in a relationship. Why? Because of sin. That's why. Because sin damages everything it touches. Now, there's a fifth area, and it's spiritual discontent and darkness. Spiritual discontent and darkness. Sin leaves a hole in your heart that nothing can satisfy. I believe it was Pascal who said there's a God-shaped hole in our heart. We try to fill it with everything else, money, sex, power, popularity, but nothing. It's like putting a square in a round hole. It doesn't fit. God can only fill that emptiness in your heart. St. Augustine said, thou hast made us for thyself, Lord, and our hearts are restless until they find themselves in thee. And so we go around unsatisfied, searching, unfulfilled, because we don't know what we're missing. What we're missing is the relationship with God that is broken by sin. We need to get reconnected.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. What does it take to become more loving, live more peacefully, develop patience, have self-control? Well, Pastor Rick says throughout all the years he's been a pastor, the number one question that he's been asked is, wait for it, why can't I change? You know, people really want to change, but they're stuck, and maybe you feel that way too. So in his book, God's Power to Change Your Life, Rick lays out the groundwork for personal transformation. And then he offers biblical insights and simple steps for 10 areas of growth that can take you from where you are right now to where you want to be. This book really connects you with the power to actually make the changes that you long to make. And as you apply the truth of God's Word by the power of His Spirit, your life will change, and you'll get on track with God's wonderful purposes for your life. So be sure to request your copy of God's Power to Change Your Life when you give a gift to Daily Hope to help take the hope of Jesus to people everywhere. That's our way of saying thanks. Just go to PastorRick.com, or you can text the word HOPE to 70309. That's PastorRick.com, and that's got two R's in the middle, or just text the word HOPE to 70309. And we thank you so much for your support. It means so much to us at Daily Hope. We hope you'll join us next time as we continue to look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.